Hello, everyone. Hi, my name is Minaz, and here I have my colleague Linjan with me. And what we're going to talk today about is vision services. These were just released as part of Project Oxford, which was announced a couple of days ago. And what I'm going to talk about today is how you can take a beautiful image like the one you're looking at the screen and interpret and provide data which is very interesting, and you can use it in your applications. Just a reminder to everyone that that we should evaluate the session at the end. The agenda for today, I'm just going to briefly talk about what are the challenges and why understanding images is very important. And then I'm going to show you a bunch of demos and then talk about the details of the API. The three APIs I'm going to talk about is Analyze Image, which is basically an image processing service which takes an image and tells you a lot of interesting information about it. The second one is OCR, which takes an image with text and converts it into machine-usable text. And the last one is, which is one of my favorites, which is Generate Thumbnail, which is you take an image and you smart crop it. So the challenges of a modern app. There are four challenges of a modern app. The first is that the images have become front and center of all applications. And this is very critical because of the cost of the transmission of data has become cheaper, and that's the kind of the main reason. The second is that most of the images are coming from a variety of sources. You are building an app, the images are being submitted by a third person, and you have to ensure that the image is clean, it is appropriate for others to see. The other aspect is you want to know something about the image. If someone is just taking a photograph and sending you an image, it would be good to know some aspects. Are there humans in it? Are there animals in it? That would be very interesting. And then once you have an image, how do you present it beautifully? And how can you take advantage of the features of the image itself and and use your application better? The third challenge of a modern app is that you want to process instantly. So as soon as you have your mobile app or you have an app, you want to instantly process these images. And the last is that you as a developer want to focus on your core value proposition of your app and not worry about many expensive things which an image processing algorithm may do. So how are we going to help you? So this, Microsoft, as a research company, has been investing in image processing, computer vision, and deep learning for many years. And this combined with the query click graph of Bing. Basically, in Bing image search, we get a lot of queries, and we get a lot of image results, and people click on those results. That graph is a huge training data, which we can combine with Microsoft research to provide these services. So the services we are providing today are part of Project Oxford, which I'll talk more about, and they're cross-platform. So you can use them from iOS and Android as well, and I'll go into the details of all of these three services. Before I get into the details, I just want to talk a little bit about one of our customers. So this is one of our launch partners. This is pickhit.me, and what they are building is a marketplace where they want to connect people who are supplying images with people who need images. And as you can imagine, they process thousands of images every day. Well, what are the challenges they have? The challenges they have is they want to build an enhanced search and browse experience. For that, they want to understand the metadata which is in the image. The second is that they want to choose appropriate colors so that they can beautify the site. So if they have an image, if they knew what would be the colors to show on the side, or when the image is loading, which is the right color to show in the background, that would be great. And most importantly, one of the reasons they are using us is that when images are submitted, they want to make sure that people are not submitting anything inappropriate, and they want to filter them out. There is another. And I'm going to show how we are helping pickhit.me in all of these cases. Another customer scenario is a very famous sports team who we are working with. And what they are doing is they want fans to upload images in real time, and they want to put it on Facebook or on their site. And what they want to do is they want to make sure that none of the images which are submitted wouldn't be appropriate for others to see. And that's the reason they're working with us to use our service. Another company is a very famous wildlife company. They're building a wildlife app, And for them, it's very important when they get images is that they want images with no, they want to separate images which have humans with no animals, especially. So they want to keep all the animals' pictures separately and then human pictures separately. And that for them is a very important aspect. So this will be a good time, I think, to show a demo, to show our services. So this is a demo of our service. So for example, if you had an image, or let's start with the image which I was showing you earlier of the person swimming. So what would we do is, like, we look at this image and tell you a lot of interesting things about it. One of the things would be what this image is. In this case, we identify that it's neither a clip art nor a line drawing, which means it's a photograph. And this is also very useful. There are a lot of graphic sites which want to distinguish actual photographs from non-photographs. Another aspect is whether it's black and white or has a particular color in it. Whether it's adult or racy. I'll talk more in detail about what is adult and racy later on. Then the other aspect is categories. So in this case, it recognizes that this image is about a person swimming. We also recognize that there's one person in this image. He's male. And we try to estimate his age, and I'll talk more about it. There's a lot of talk about this in the internet about this particular feature. And then there are colors, dominant colors and accent colors. Dominant colors means what is the most important color in this image, and accent color means what is a contrasting color. Let's take this photograph of the New York City. So in this case, we recognize that this image is about buildings, it's about city, and it's an outdoor city, and it's obviously a black and white image, so the colors are not very interesting, and also there are no people in it. Let's take another image, this flower image. So in this case, the colors become very interesting, so we identify all the dominant colors. The most dominant color is white here, the black is the second most, and green is the third, and the dominant color foreground is white and background is white. And then accent color is the contrasting color. So which would be the most contrasting color, and that's the pollen in the flower itself. You can even go to this site right now and even try your personal images. So for example, let me, I had a vacation to Mexico, so I took some photographs over there. And this one recognizes that it's a photograph of ocean, and also that there is some stone rocks in it, which makes it very interesting. And here is me being brave enough to hold a lion, and it recognizes my age and my daughter's age. It doesn't recognize my son's age because he's looking a bit sideways. And it also gives what is the best contrasting color for this image, which I'll talk more about later on, which are the leaves in the picture. And you can, if everybody's looking straight ahead, like in this photograph, all the faces are captured much better. In this, we can capture everybody's age, young and old. This will be a good time to go back to the deck, and let me talk a little bit more about some of these details about this. Okay, so we are talking about, first I'll talk about category detection. Which we are showing here. So you could go to the site and try all of these images, or you can try any of your image, and we will be able to recognize the categories, whether it's ocean or sky, or it's a train station, or whether it's a food image. In general, what we have done is we have trained our models using Bing data on 86 categories. These are typical categories photographers are interested in categorizing their photographs. For example, for object, we subcategorize it into food and transportation and drink and animals, and within animals, cats and birds and dogs. And for outdoor, another top-level category, we have categories like field and ocean, city, house, and these are all very useful categories. And this same technology is internally used in Microsoft for the OneDrive search, which was recently released, the enhanced OneDrive search. And Bing image search has been using it for a while. And we measure our quality on a standard photographer's data set from MIT. And on that data set, we do pretty well, 95% precision and 73% recall. What it means is that about 3/4 of the images in that data set, we are able to recognize some category in it, and the precision is pretty high. So that's about category detection. Let me move on to a different area. I'll explain this one by showing Bing. So on Bing, if you go and type in lion, you see these beautiful pictures of lion. And there are a bunch of filters here. And one of the filters is type. And you could say that I wanted to see only clip art photographs of a lion. Or you wanted to see only line drawings of a lion. Also, there are color filters which help us identify which are the colors, dominant color of, or you could pick a color and it will show those pictures of a lion, or you could click on black and white. So what we are doing is we are exposing all of these things as part of this service. So if you submitted a picture just like the one I have on the screen, you would get, this happens to be a clip art, and within clip art, we also say whether it's high quality or low quality. So we have a rating of from 0 to 3. 0 is no clip art, 1 is ambiguous, 2 is average clip art quality, and 3 is high quality. And then this happens to be a line drawing, and this happens to be a black and white image as well. And these models are more recall focused. So we don't, even if they are a little bit ambiguous, we estimate them to be clip art, line drawing, and black and white. And as I said before, this is very useful for a couple of companies we are working with. They want to distinguish photographs from non-photographs, and in those cases, it can be very useful. The next topic I want to talk about is one of my favorite topics, which is accent color. This is a common problem you have is you have this photograph of a gentleman, and you want to decide what should be the best contrast color for this image. And you know, if you are brave enough, you would go for with a bright color like blue or red, or most people are very, they would go with a, if you are building a website, you would typically go with a neutral color, which is like one of the two bottom colors, and would say those are safer colors I would go with. And this feature we released as part of Windows 8, and I'm going to show how it works in Windows 8, which will give the inspiration. So for in Windows 8, if you go to the start screen and you type in a query like Taylor Swift, what you will get is you'll get a beautiful hero image of her, and followed by her news articles and her albums. And the color which you want to choose for the background here for the news and album uses the same service. And the way we chose this color is by looking at which is the most popping color of the image, which would help it be the most contrasting color. And in this case, it happens to be her lipstick. So it was her lipstick's color which has been chosen as the accent color, and it helps the whole screen to look more harmonious and eye-pleasing. So let's take another example to make this point more clear. This is another query, Beyonce. You do a query of Beyonce, and in this case, the color which was chosen, the blue color which has been chosen, is the most saturated color behind her in her background. And this color helps the screen look, much more again, very eye pleasing, and makes it look flow, makes it flow much better. This doesn't make the whole application look boring. Otherwise, what happens is you just have one color at the background and you choose that consistently. Just to make this point even more, I'll show this more complex example where Katy Perry is wearing has very different colors on her in this picture. The color we have chosen is the color of her hair, because that is the most contrasting color and makes the screen look harmonious. And also, what we do is we try to avoid skin tone. So if we don't use skin tone, is kind of avoided. Otherwise, again, this algorithm wouldn't work as well. So there are two kinds of colors we are exposing in this service, dominant and accent color. Dominant is very straightforward to understand. What we do is we look at which is the most dominant color, and we quantize it into one of the 12 top dominant colors. And this is also very useful, especially in shopping scenarios. If somebody gives you an image of a red shoe and says it's a red shoe, and you want to validate that, this can be very useful in those cases, and that's typically the cases where we use it in Bing. But accent color, as I talked about, is a color where we try to get the most saturated, contrasting, or popping color of the image, and we try to avoid skin tone. And also, if we are unable to find any color, then we use a default gray color. And there are many interesting applications. Once you start using this, it's pretty addictive. In Bing, we are now using it in various places whenever we show images. So coming back to this example of this gentleman, so the accent color which our service returns currently is the color of his beard. So that's what was chosen. Now I'm going to talk about a very important area, which is adult and racy detection. When I say adult, what I really mean is porn. And this is, and what racy means is these are images which wouldn't be suitable in a school environment, or it may not be suitable in certain cultures or certain markets. And we are working to continuously improve all of these models because we use it in Bing. And if you go to Bing and if you choose strict mode, you don't see adult nor racy images. And if you go to moderate mode, you don't see racy images. You don't see adult images. And so, what we do is, as part of this service, we return you a label which says whether a particular image is adult or racy. And these labels are what we think are the at the operating point of the PR curve, as it's the most gives the best user experience. But we also give you the actual classifier score. So if you are building models on top of our models, a meta model, you could use these scores and build your own classifier on top of our classifiers. Let's go a little bit more into detail about this. So first of all, I want to emphasize that our models are really robust, and they've been used in Bing, built with Bing training data for many years, and they use deep neural networks. It's very important to understand that with the advantage of using deep neural networks. Like, for example, if there's a mother with a baby and there's a lot of skin in it, it won't be identified as adult because our DNN models have learned that this is not adult. And also, the second important point is that there are flexible thresholds. For example, there's a default operating point at which this classifier works. And as with any classifier, there are a lot of false positives. But what you can do is you can say that I really don't want to have any adult documents in my application. In that case, you can go with a higher recall point. But if you go with a higher recall point, you will have more false positives. And in that case, you will have to use human judges to filter them out. Or on the other hand, you can say that I just want higher precision. I don't want to block anybody who may not be false negatives. That in that case, you will end up having some leakage. So let's talk about this. This is a very important topic, so I just want to have one more slide to go into details about this. For example, you had an application where you had 10,000 images, and on an average, there are 2.6% images are adult, which is pretty high, 260 images out of 10K. And the simplest way would be you would have some person sitting there. If it was an example of the fan application which I was talking about, where fans are uploading images, you would have somebody sitting and watching all the 10,000 images very quickly and trying to identify which are adult or not. But what you could do is you could use our service and at a higher recall point, and we will say that about approximately 355 of them are identified as adult. And the judge who's sitting there would focus on these 355, and you would catch 208 out of 260 images right away, and you would identify them to be adult, and they would be filtered out from your application. Obviously, I'm talking all this by just looking at the image. In most cases, you have other context. You have context like text, like if somebody has said something about an image or people are typing in comments, that obviously helps you identify adult images. Then there's history. Typically, users who are using your app for many years may not post anything offensive. And this context, which is also important, is in certain cases, there might be certain scenarios people may tend to post more adult images. Just to make this point, how do we do this in Bing? In Bing, what we do is we use the same classifier, the image classifier, but we also know which images this on which page they are. So we know the page information, we know URL information, we know domain information, and that gives us context of whether a particular image is adult. Any image which is at the boundary of the threshold, we use human judges for that. And then we combine that with the query a user is typing, the query classifier, and also how people are engaging with this image. Because typically an adult image, people tend to click on it for any query. So that helps us identify what it is. So the meta point here is that one should, if you have other signals besides image signals, please use them. Now, the next topic I'm going to talk about is face detection. So this was the original image I showed you at the beginning of the presentation. And we identify the exact face location. So we are able to identify that there's a male in this, his approximate age, and what is the face rectangle of this image. And this is very useful in many scenarios. It's very useful always to know whether there are people in it, because most pictures, almost 50% of the pictures are about people. And if you knew how many people are there, whether there's a couple in it, whether there's one person in it, you can do many interesting things. And what our face detection algorithm does is it can detect up to 64 people in it. And just to make this point even thing, there's a University of Massachusetts at Amherst has this face competition of, they have a data set called the FDDB data set, which is used to measure how good your face detection is. And Microsoft Research is number one across all the competitions. We have zero false positives on that data set. And recall of 83%. So in 83% of those photographs, we are able to identify faces, and we never say something is a face which is not a face. And this is better than the other two big competitors, which I won't name here. There are only two other companies which do face detection the way we do. Okay. And then we have a detailed algorithm about face searching. And face algorithms, I didn't talk about this. I'll briefly just show you the website. So we have this Project Oxford website, which was just announced a couple of days back. And it has the face APIs. There's a complete module dedicated to face. So if you wanted to find out whether you could submit a set of photographs. So you can say, I have 50 employees in my company. You could submit photographs of those employees. And then you can send a photograph and say, is it one of them? So there's a face verification and a face search. Also, you could give two images and ask whether these two people are the same person or not. There is a set of speech APIs, which convert speech into text and text into speech. And the vision API is the talk I'm giving. And then lastly, there's language understanding as well. So this is the site, projectoxford.ai. And all these demos are free. And then there's also a tier there, a free, if you have an Azure subscription, you could do the first year is free for you to try it from your application. So let's go back to my deck. So where do we use this? So there was a lot of talk yesterday, if you have been following the internet, about this site which was based howold.net. So this went very viral once Joseph did his demo. This uses the same API, the face API, and in this case, it tries to estimate your exact age, which looks like a lot of fun, and you should all try it. But the real application for an ML developer is the way we use it in Bing is we use it as a classifier. We just put it as a feature to our model, and we know what it helps us is if you typed a query like. Young Madonna. So you, in this case, you want photographs of the younger Madonna. And then what we do is we use this. We know all these photographs, what age they are. We approximate age. And it helps us make better relevance results. So that's how we use it. So it's not about giving a precise age of a person, but just using it intelligently to identify whether a person is young or older or there's 1% in the picture photograph, or there are multiple people in the photograph. So, yeah. And then lastly, face detection is also useful for thumbnail detection, and I'll talk more about that later. So this first API, in summary, it does allele detection, category detection, color, image type, and face. And you have the flexibility also of getting all of these features, and if you only find some of them interesting, you can just pick and choose which features are interesting to you. Now I'll walk over to the next topic, which is OCR, which is optical character recognition. So one of our launch partners for OCR is Allen Institute of Artificial Intelligence. What they're trying to do is they're building an artificial intelligence system which can answer exam questions for 6th grade, 8th grade, and 10th grade science exams in particular. And for that, they need to understand exam questions. They need to then explain the answers to those questions to their students. And for that, the first step would be to be able to read exam questions. One of the challenges of exam questions, especially 8th grade science exams, are there are a lot of diagrams in 8th grade science exams. And there needs to be a way you could interpret these images and extract text out of them. So let me show you a demo of how we solve this. So if you go to the same demo site, we have OCR here. So what OCR does is obviously takes an image, looks at the text on that image, and it converts it into machine-usable character stream. And if you look at the detail, what we return is we are doing auto detection. So we are able to recognize that this is English language. We are also able to recognize that all the text is aligned all on a straight line, so text angle is zero. And then we draw a bounding box on every line and every word, so you know exactly where the word is in the picture. And if you take another photograph like this one, here the words are a little bit tilted. It's at 2 degrees. So what happens is the image is taken, it's straightened out, and then all the text is extracted from it. And all the bounding boxes are given. You can also select your own image. So let me try. I could try a personal image as well. I have this recipe done by my son. So it converts what he wrote on his he made a recipe for muffin, and it can convert it into text and tell me exactly. Maybe not very useful, but I'll show you a very useful scenario which Allen Institute of Artificial Intelligence is using. So what they're doing is they're taking this text, and now they know what exactly is the text in this science diagram, and they can also find all the JSON for it, so they know exactly what the text is. And this helps them know and then they're using other features to figure out that this what kind of science diagram this is, and then it helps them in obviously they have the question also what the science question is, and they can help answer the questions. Okay. So let's talk a little bit more about OCR. So OCR, one thing about OCR is it's a very mature technology. It's being used across Microsoft in many products, OneDrive, Office Lens, OneNote, Bing, and Microsoft Translator. The new thing in this service is there are two new things. One thing is that this is the first time we have automatically detecting a language. And the second, so you could provide, it's very expensive to have 21 libraries on your machine. So here it's all in the cloud. So it's very easy to have this the automatically detection service available. And the second aspect, which is new, is it's cross-platform. All of Project Oxford is cross-platform. That is, if you have an iOS app or an Android app, you can hit this service and you can take advantage of OCR. The OCR library, as far as functionality is concerned, the OCR library, which will ship with Windows 10, is exactly the same. It's only the only two things which are different is obviously that library works only with Windows. This service will work with any device, and also it does automatically detects languages. And then if the text is tilted, then we straighten it. So that's and then we give that information back to you. So because many times, if you wanted to draw bounding boxes on the text which you identified, and you wanted to put that in the UX, this aspect is very useful. So if you have rotating the image in any way, we give that information back. And then we give bounding boxes for every text and every word. I mean, sorry, every line and every line and every word. And there are certain limitations. One is that if the text is more than 40 degrees, then in that case, we don't do more rotation than 40 degrees. And the quality of OCR, we don't publish any official PR because it varies a lot on the type of content you have. If you have content which is text-focused images, it will do very well. But if you have text-focused, but if there's a lot of cursive language, it's, you know, the PR is going to not be as good. And photographs where text is just in the background, it is not the dominant aspect, the false positives can be very different depending on the example. Also, I have not shown you an example of a different language. So you could also take a language. I don't speak any of the other languages here, Chinese, French, or Spanish. It will do is it is automatically detecting that it's Chinese, and it's able to output Chinese language. And then it tells you that it is in Chinese, which is very useful. That itself could be a useful feature. And what we use it in Bing, I'm from Bing team, and where we use it in Bing is we use it actually for adult detection as well. So the one topic I was talking about, one of the biggest problems is there are a lot of quotes which are inappropriate. So we are able to filter those out by using OCR. So this, in summary, this service is takes an image. You can provide a language, or default is auto-detect. And if you know all your text is straight, then you don't need to provide orientation also. And the output is the language, the text angle, and the orientation. And as I said, the text angle and orientation is useful because you might want to draw UX around the words or the text. And then we provide bounding boxes for each line and every word. Okay, let me move on to our third topic. So this is talking about thumbnail service. So thumbnail service is a very interesting problem. So what happens is most images out there are either landscape or portrait. But whenever there is a thumbnail, it's always a square thumbnail. And so what happens is you want to take a landscape image or a portrait image, and then you want to fit it into a square. This is a very common problem which happens across many applications. And this problem even becomes much more complex because many times you want to put these images on different devices, on phones, tablets, PCs, where the layouts are different. And you don't want to store the same thumbnail multiple times for multiple devices or on multiple scenarios. What if there was a service which you took your image and you told the service which is the target device or target container, and it would give you the exact right image for that scenario. So that's exactly what the service does. It takes an image, and it identifies what is the main object in that image. And then what we identify is we crop the image to say this is the region of interest. It shouldn't be cropped. And then we rescale the image to fit the target dimension. This can be, again, understood much better with a demo. So we go back to our site, and here I have a thumbnail demo. So this is an original image of a person standing on top of a mountain. And what's happening is the original image is a landscape image. And what we are trying to do is trying to fit this image in either in landscape. These three are landscape. This is a square image. And the last two are portrait images. And obviously, you can see this is a very big challenge to put a landscape image into a portrait container. And even the square container, ideally this person should be in the center of the image, and that would be the best thing. So let me turn, right now in this demo, the smart cropping is turned off. So if you turn on our smart cropping, what you'll see is that the person in the square image is exactly in the middle, and in the landscape image works for a portrait, to the last two portrait containers also pretty well. So if you turn it off, you'll see that things are moving, and then we're able to identify the region of interest. Let's take another example. This is a person reading a book in front of a fireplace. And here, right now, that smart cropping is turned on. And as you can see, it looks pretty good. But if you turn off the smart cropping and just select the center of the image, again, this is a landscape image. It won't work well for portrait. But even if you look at the square, which is the most popular thumbnail, it doesn't look that good because it doesn't know that the person is much more important than the fireplace. And here are more examples you can try. Let me try this. Let's turn off the smart cropping, yes, and then try the logo. The logo is very interesting because in logo, all the content is important. You should never crop a logo because all the information, it's a loss of information if you crop, and that's why it looks horrible here. But when you turn on smart cropping in this case, what you see is what we have done is we, instead of cropping the images, we pad the images because we know it's there's text on the image, and therefore you shouldn't crop the image. You actually pad these images, and therefore all of them just look rescaled to fit even the smallest containers. Okay, so let's go back to the thumbnail service. So the demo which I was showing is that the original image was a 3x2, and we were trying to fit it into different containers. And in most cases, the thumbnails, this is just for illustration purposes, we tried different containers, but what we are trying to optimize is for square containers. And that's most thumbnails are square. So this thumbnail API is a very straightforward API. You take an image, you give the dimensions of the target container you want to put the image in, and you would the enable smart cropping is just for it's just for fun, but you would normally keep it true because you want smart cropping, and then the output would be a thumbnail image which you can then use in your thing. And we are thinking of a lot of enhancements here once we know how much interest there is in this kind of API, because this can be further optimized as well. So how can you take advantage of all of these services? So all of these services are available as RESTful APIs, and we also provide a simple SDK which wraps around these RESTful APIs, and there are SDKs available for Android, there's a SDK available for .NET, and the calls which you can do are very, if you go to Azure, you can get a subscription key, which is free right now up to a certain number of transactions per month, and you can write a few lines of code, upload your local image, and start analyzing them and using your application. And the kind of output you will get is what is at the bottom. You will get this kind of output, which will tell you what kind of image it is, whether it's adult or racy, what are the scores for it, what is the category it belongs to, and et cetera information. So it's pretty straightforward for you to use our service. There are three key reasons I would say you should try out our service. We need this technology in-house to power many of our own Microsoft applications, especially Bing Image Search. And we are continuously improving all of this all of these features which I talked about today. And because it's available as a service, you will always get the latest and the best at all times. And the third reason is that it is available as a cloud service. It's very easy to integrate. It's cross-platform, and you can use it in any application you want. And I've talked a lot about Bing today. Why, Bing is thought about as a search engine, but within Microsoft, Bing is being used across variety of products as an intelligent engine. It's used in Office, and in many of the Office, new Office features have Bing intelligence in them. Windows and Cortana uses a lot of Bing, Xbox users, and now for the first time, we are exposing this technology as a service as part of Project Oxford. So you can, you as a developer can take direct advantage of these services. I would like to call to action for all of you is to go to our website, try our website out, try out all the demos, try our own images. The demo is free for anybody to try out. You can just upload images. You can upload even an image from an internet. So you can even type any image. You can even type a URL. If you don't want to upload your own image, you can even type a URL. And the demos, we don't store any images. There was a lot of talk right now about the privacy concerns. None of the images are stored. And also, if you are interested in knowing What are the other features we have as part of Project Oxford, like speech or language understanding or face detection? There was another session which happened 2 days back. You can watch that. We have a dedicated booth on the third floor with a lot of experts there if you have more questions. And then we have an active forum, which is a lot of people are asking questions. And also, I'll take any questions right now if you have, if you can come forward to the mic and ask questions. Thank you very much. Oh, could you use the mic because it's getting recorded?
Yeah. You have a list of what's in the pipeline now?
So yeah, I can talk about a couple of things. So like for category detection, we are expanding the number of categories people want. So it's only 86 categories. We are expanding that to a number, and we are improving the quality there. For thumbnail, we have many interesting things like why should you return the image? Normally when you show a thumbnail, it would be just interesting to have a URL. So what we could do is return you just the URL of the thumbnail.
Let me give you a real-world example.
Okay.
Do you have something that would recognize a piece of an image in an image?
Yes, that's a thing we are working on. And Linjan here is leading that team who is with me. And we are working on that technology, which will hopefully at some later time we can talk about that.
Okay, maybe we can talk about it now.
You want to say something about that? That's his project, so that's a good question.
Yeah, I get the question.
Oh, he's asking whether you can detect parts of an image.
Now, given a small piece of an image, can you look at other images and say this piece is in those images?
Oh, that technology is called a partial duplicate detection. You want to detect the part of the images in other images in the database.
Yeah.
So that's not supported in the Oxford version now, but we have the technology in Bing, used in Bing.
When's that going to be available? Because I'm talking about a real-world example. We have a number of customers who are waiting for that.
Yes, and we can work with you when we have that thing ready. You give me your information, so I can give you offline information of when that will be ready.
Because Xerox wants to detect when top secret photographs or documents are being printed.
Yes.
So they want to be able to recognize pieces of images that are on a prohibited list.
Yes, exactly. And people also want to know whether there's a copyright violation. That's another scenario we have heard of. Like if someone has an image, which is, they want, because then everybody copies images, it's very easy to copy images. They want to be notified when there's a copyright violation. So we're working on all of those scenarios.
When should I check back? Because we're also working on that.
We can talk offline, maybe. Just if you, once I answer all the questions, let's talk about it.
Okay.
Question with regard to the, over here. With regard to the optimal image resolution.
The thumbnail detection?
Image resolution. So for OCR, you said that the maximum dimension is 2600, right?
Yeah.
So what about the other functionality, like classifying, face detection, whatnot? Do you have any kind of maximum dimensions?
Yes, there are some limitations. You can just we just try to save some bandwidth. So I think it's a 4 MB or 3 MB limit.
Okay.
And you can just rescale the image before you submit the image.
But do you have any kind of optimum resolution which you would say, okay, this provides for the best results?
No, I think we do very well on thumbnails as well, right? There's no optimal dimensions or...
The input image should be of a reasonably high quality. It cannot be too small or too blurred. If it's larger, so... the computational cost might be high, and the bandwidth will be high.
It's a question of response time. So if you do it closer to 3 MB, that would be the best.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. I have two questions. The first one is, are you also working on providing a human-friendly description of the image? So we had, you presented the category, so it gives you the category. But for example, for the woman reading a book with a fireplace, are you focusing on maybe providing a woman is reading a book by a fireplace text kind of thing?
That is still, so Microsoft Research had actually published papers around that. And if you go to Bing today, we also give you quotes or interesting information about an image. And we have that that in our roadmap, and we're calling that get insights about the image and text description. So that's in our, surely in our roadmap.
Okay, great, thanks. And the second question is about the cropping capabilities, the smart cropping. Is your idea to cache also those images so that you could act as some kind of proxy for websites or?
Yeah, exactly, so that's what we want to do. What we want to do is that we want those images, there's no reason for you to store the thumbnail on your, we return the thumbnail to you. Ideally what we should do is we should store the thumbnail in Azure, return you an URL, and then if you're calling from an iPhone, we would know that iPhone, this is an iPhone 6S, it has high resolution, we should give you even a better, higher quality thumbnail. And if you're calling from a device which has low resolution, we should provide you that. And that's how exactly how we use it internally within Microsoft.
Okay.
So if you try like Bing, if you try Bing search today, and if you try it from your iPhone, the quality of the images are going to be better because the device can handle it. And a device which cannot handle the high quality images, we don't send it. So that's an enhancement we can do to this service, and that's surely in our roadmap. Yeah,
thanks.
Any other questions?
Videos. Are you looking into videos as well?
Oh yes, videos. That's a very good question. Actually, that is one of the best, top enterprise scenarios, security and scene detection. So yes, that's in our roadmap. I have got a lot of, when I was reaching out to customers to see if this is interesting, a lot of people ask me about scene detection. So, and we have made some progress. If you use Bing videos, we extract all the interesting images in it and multiple images to kind of make a story and show what are the images. But what customers want really is, this is my cat and it's a security camera in my house, and don't alert me when you see my own cat. So that those kind of scenarios, and we are actively working, or we are at least doing research in that area, I would say. Okay, I'll take any questions offline. We'll go off camera now. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.